Up this morning for different reasons. It's a blessing that we even have the chance this morning to gather ourselves together. That we even woke up, get out of bed.
Amen.
God is always blessing our lives. This morning, we're going to be looking at James chapter 4, verses 11 through 17. James chapter 4, verse 11 through 17, and in chapter 4 of the book of James, he addresses the issues involved with pride and how it promotes strife. One of the things that's synonymous with being prideful is being haughty, which is basically being arrogant or assumptive, feeling superior, just having an unhealthy focus on self. James has already shown how this type of attitude can not only cause problems with other people, but how God himself resists those who are proud. Here in the second half of this chapter, he goes on to talk about the other side effects of this type of mentality. So, in James chapter 4, verses 11 through 17, it reads, "Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who are you to judge another? Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." Yeah. You know, I would like to use the subject of my message as the subject of my message this morning, the dangers of a haughty spirit. Somebody once said that the smallest package in the world is a person wrapped up in himself. And that's basically what it takes to be the kind of person who James is talking about in these next few verses. When that pride drives you to be haughty, it becomes easy to make the mistake of believing that you have the right to slander or speak against other people. Now, although the King James Version has 613 listings for the word evil, not all of those instances have the exact same meaning. In verse 11, the Greek word used for evil is katalaleo, which means to speak against, to criminate, to traduce. Now, I didn't really know what the word traduce meant, so I looked it up. And the Oxford Languages says it means to speak badly of or tell lies about someone so as to damage their reputation. So usually the people who are doing this are doing it both intentionally and unintentionally in such a way that they make themselves, make someone else look bad. These are the kind of people that get to the point where they feel it's their responsibility to basically tell it like it is. You know, some folks who feel like they're not doing anything but just pointing out the obvious. You know, it's interesting how, you know, you run into people like this all the time. You know, people that they lie to themselves or others and say that they're not gossiping or slandering others, but they think they're just pointing out facts that everybody should see. Now, considering the fact that we are supposed to be loving other people as we love ourselves, how do you think God views that kind of activity? It's not our place to be the one to give information about everybody and their mother. But even things that are true don't always have to be spread. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, that there is a time to be silent and a time to speak. Now, it's not hard to figure out why he said it's a time to be silent first. Sometimes people don't realize that there are individuals who are in the process of a transformation, of changing who they from who they used to be to who God wants them to be. Could you imagine how hard it would be for the Apostle Paul if somebody was constantly, or everybody was constantly going around and just simply pointing out who he used to be before he came to Christ? Yeah, it's true that he did some bad things before coming to Christ, just like all of us. But that's not who he is today. Yeah. Nobody in this world is perfect. Everybody has made mistakes. Everybody has said or done things that if you had it to do over again, you wouldn't do it the same way. Yeah. If people, if we're going to say the thing, things about other people or about other people, if we're going to say things to or about other people, then it should be for the purpose of edification.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." And besides that, there are multiple warnings all throughout Scripture about speaking evil of other people. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 9. Says, "Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, Here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness." Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32 says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you."
Amen.
Jesus is the one who will judge everybody for their sins, according to God's word. And in most cases, he waits until after we die to do it. Of course, there are some people who are so evil that he expedites their departure from this world. God is our lawgiver. And as James said, he can save and condemn whom he chooses. It's a bit presumptuous to think that you even qualify to be able to do so. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5 says, "Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will bring both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God." Romans chapter 14, verse 10 through 13 says, "But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or cause to fall in our brother's way."
Amen.
You know, sometimes we get so caught up in judging somebody else that we forget that it's our responsibility to help that person to get right with God.
Amen.
Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." None of us are perfect. All of us make mistakes. And it's our job to try and help people to get right with God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, verse 15, "Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained a brother."
Amen.
How about instead of us being in a rush to talk about somebody, we be in a rush to help them get right with God?
Amen.
James also goes on to illustrate how allowing pride to develop into a haughty spirit can cause us to make assumptions about the future. Now, you know what they say about assumptions, right? Mm-hmm. When we make assumptions, we contribute to the complexity rather than the simplicity of a problem, making it more difficult to solve. Now, some of you may have made an assumption about what I was going to say. But see, that's the danger in leaving God out of the equation. James chapter 4, verse 13, he said, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit." How do you know what the future holds? Yeah. You can't see the future any more than a dog can see his future. Don't get it twisted. There's nothing wrong with us making plans for the future. There's nothing wrong with trying to take your life from one place to the other. And as a matter of fact, for many of the Jews, there in the first century, and also for many Gentiles, it was a common habit to travel from one city to the next for the purpose of trade. Okay? But there is always unknown elements that we can't see. For example, you don't know if you're going to live to see tomorrow. All of the resources that you have could be stolen between now and then. Remember the parable about the person, the Good Samaritan, the person who he helped got robbed on the road. There could be an accident between where you are and where you're trying to go. James says in verse 14, "Whereas you don't know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." The only one who knows what's going to happen tomorrow is God. He sees everything from the beginning to the end. It's always in our best interest to make sure that God is a part of every plan that we make. Also remember the parable Jesus told about the rich man in Luke chapter 12, verse 16 through 21. He did good with his crops. And then he decided he's going to tear down his barns and build bigger ones. But he didn't know that he was going to die that very night. Even in my own life, right out of high school, I had plans to go to Job Corps, get my certificate in electronics and computer repair, and then go on to get a degree in computer science and just, you know, start my life and do all kinds of things, you know. But I never planned on getting married. I never planned on becoming a preacher. I never planned on finally going to college in my 30s. And even when I finally did go to college, I had plans then for what was going to happen after I went to college. But I hadn't planned on my kidneys failing. I hadn't planned on ever becoming homeless. But see, that's why it's important with all your plans to make sure that God is a part of the picture. Yeah. Because every step of the way, there are going to be things that you can't see. There are going to be things that you don't know what is coming right around the corner. Even beyond tomorrow, God will guide and protect you throughout eternity. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6 says, "In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." Amen. Proverbs 16:3 says, "Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established." God can see what you can't see. He already has a solution to every problem you will ever encounter, even beyond the problems involved with buying and selling. James says, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." Some people make long-term goals, like seeing their grandkids graduate from college, making plans for what you're going to do during retirement. Some people plan to go see the world. They buy an RV so they can go see the country. And they always want to travel and do all the things I couldn't do while I was working. But some people don't really make it that far. My father had just retired right before he caught COVID-19. He passed away last year. What does the future hold for you? That's why James says in verse 15, "Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that." Some people think that it seems too much to have to say, "if the Lord wills." But keep in mind, In this chapter, James is addressing the issues of pride and haughtiness. It's being self-centered. That haughty spirit is what will cause us problems. This statement is simply a humble acknowledgement that ultimately God's will is what will be done in this world.
Amen.
Saying, if it be the Lord's will, is an acceptance of the fact that although you have your own plans, God's plans are what will be accomplished.
Amen.
Think about what he says in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope.
Amen.
That's why his will is what needs to be done in your life. Because he wants to bless your life. When I was 20 years old, I had all kinds of plans for what was going to happen in the future. And I couldn't see anything other than those plans. But now that I'm about to turn 46 in 2 weeks, I can see and I can say wholeheartedly that I thank God that his will was what was done in my life.
Amen.
Because now he has blessed me in so many more ways. I have drawn closer to him and he has given me hope for the future.
Amen.
Even with all the things that I've been through, God has been good to me. And he helps me to see that no matter what he has planned for my life, I'm ready for it. And it's because he has been blessing my life. It's because he has been guiding me. Some people like to boast of their successes and their accomplishments. James says in verse 16, but now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. See, you may think that you are a self-made person. You may think that it's only because of you and your strength that you are able to provide a living for yourself and for your children, and possibly even provide a college education for your children. But the reality is, it is actually all coming from God.
Amen.
Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18 says, remember, in the New Living Translation, remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed with your ancestors with an oath. In the book of Hosea, chapter 2, God is talking about Israel as an adulterous wife. He says something very interesting in verse 8. In the New Living Translation, it says, she, Israel, doesn't realize it was I who gave her everything. She has grain, the new wine, the olive oil. I even gave her silver and gold, but she gave it all. She gave all my gifts to Baal. Mm-hmm. There is no room for boasting when you realize that your life has all come from God. Everything good in your life has come from God.
Amen.
James goes on to say in verse 17, therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Now, when you first look at this verse, it seems a little out of place with what the verses that came before. But that's only depending on what your definition of what good is. See, it's good to be humble. It's good to depend on God. It's good to acknowledge that it's because of God that you experience any good in your life. It's good to have the mindset, if it be the Lord's will.
Amen.
Will you be found to be a prideful, haughty individual, focused only on what you want and what you think you have done for yourself? Or will you put God above everything,
Amen,
including yourself?
Amen.
This morning, God has shown us through James that pride will do nothing but separate us from him. It will cause us to lose sight of our true blessings,
Amen,
of the fact that God has been guiding us all this time, trying to bring us closer to him, trying to make sure that one day we will have a home with him. And if we simply embrace an attitude of humility and realize that God is only trying to bless our lives, then we can go further than we ever thought possible. we can be blessed beyond anything that we even believed was possible.
Amen.
This morning, put your faith and trust in Him. Depend on God. Let it be His will that reigns supreme in your life. Whatever your needs are, let them be known as together we stand and sing the invitation song.
There is soul.